Today is June 29th, 2023. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for Some Like It Hot, Tales from the Firehouse. I'm here today with Firefighter Justin Ridge of the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me on.
So everyone has a story to tell, and I want to give Jeffersonville firefighters a chance to share their stories. How long have you been with the department?
It will be 8 years this August, August 5th.
So what made you want to become a firefighter?
It was always in the back of my mind growing up. My dad was a firefighter for 27 years with Louisville Fire Department, and it just always seemed like a career that would make me feel like I was doing something positive for the community.
So if you weren't a firefighter, what do you think you'd be doing?
Well, I might still be working in a restaurant. I managed a restaurant before I got on with Jeffersonville Fire Department.
So what are some of the challenges of your job?
All the crews that I've worked with have been really cohesive and worked well together. On the job, things, all the challenges that have arisen have been overcome very, very well. Off the job, it can be challenging. Family life, being gone for 24 hours at a time. EMS runs sometimes can be challenging. Having to see people in pain. But just knowing that you're there to help the situation as opposed to you didn't do anything to make that situation happen. You're just there to help in any way you can. Just having the right mind frame for it really makes a difference.
So you mentioned home. Are you married?
I am married. I've been with my wife since 2010, and we have an 18-month-old boy, Jonah.
So how hard is it being a firefighter and having a family?
Well, like I said, being gone for 24 hours at a time is really difficult, especially when your son is teething and he is only sleeping 3 hours at a time. But my wife and I knew that was going to be the case, and you know, we planned accordingly, and she does a great job when I'm not at home. And it's difficult being gone for 24 hours, but if you have something that you need to do, you can take emergency time, and the fire department works really well with you. If something's going on with your son, if he's actually sick, you know, you can call in and have a sick day. And just a month before my son was born, the city started paternal leave, so I did get 6 days off that I didn't have to use my vacation days for. That was really nice. You know, we're a brotherhood at Jeffersonville Fire Department, so everybody has a family. Most people have a family. Everybody's been through it, and they help you work through things.
Well, and you all are a family.
Somebody's going to help you out.
Right, because you all are a family at the department. I mean,
yeah, we are.
What did you all go through?
If I came to my crew and said, hey, this is going on, you know, with my son, and I need to go home and take care of it, we would either find somebody to cover my shift for a couple hours or a couple days if need. Luckily, nothing like that has happened, and my son is healthy and happy. But, you know, we all work together.
And your wife knew going into that, yeah, you were a firefighter and this is how things are.
Yeah, it was, I started at Jeffersonville Fire Department in 2015, and he wasn't born until 2022. So we've been used to the schedule. The schedule is nice. You know, every 5 days you get 4 days off.
Just like a mini vacation.
It could be if you don't take overtime. And most guys take 1 day of overtime during their 4 days off. And, you know, 1 year maybe you'll get every other 4 days off, and the next year you'll get 2 days of overtime during your 4 days off. But you don't have to take overtime, obviously.
But, I mean, why not? If you can. So how long did it take you to get used to working these 24-hour shifts?
It wasn't hard to get used to, honestly. Getting woken up in the middle of the night is a little difficult to deal with. Depending, you know, on how the night goes. You might get woken up 4 times or no times. You might get woken up and go to a fire and be out for 4 hours, or you might be back from an EMS run in 30 minutes. So it just depends. And that's still something that, you know, you have to work through on the nights that you don't get much sleep and you're dragging the next day and you still have to get things done. I think I deal with that pretty well. I can usually find time to get a nap in the afternoon if I need to, but I can usually just power through it. It's not really too difficult. And if there is a difficult time, it's usually only 2 or 3 times a year.
So do you still have, I don't want to call it anxiety, but like you're laying there waiting for a call to happen, waiting for the alarm to go off? Or is that something you kind of...
No, I think I got over that within the first month or so. I can pretty much go to sleep within 10 minutes of wanting to go to sleep at the fire department without any issues, and I don't really have any anxiety about getting woken up or having to go to a run or anything.
So what are some of the best parts of your job?
As I mentioned before with crew integrity, I've worked on quite a few different crews, and everyone has been great, and you know, we eat together, we train together, we watch movies together, we watch basketball and football, and just the camaraderie and having that the brotherhood that you mentioned, it's really neat, you know. Even though we can go out and do a job that is very difficult, we come back and we're joking and we're eating our cold dinner because we had to leave it right before we started eating. And after that, we get everything cleaned up and get the rest of our job done. We sit down and watch a basketball game. It's a job that you can feel good about. You know, I've done tile work, and I did dishes when I first started working in restaurants. You know, you get home from that, you feel tired, and you don't really feel like you've accomplished all that much. But with the fire department, most runs I get back from, I feel like we've at least helped somebody in some way.
So is it hard for you all to decide what movie to watch?
Usually, the remote gets passed around because nobody wants to decide what movie to watch.
Oh, I see.
I find that I will be the person most of the time ending up deciding on what movie to watch, and then everybody will tell me what a bad pick it was.
You're afterwards. Like, well, nobody else was the one to pick. That's funny, though. Just like at home.
Yeah.
So do you all take turns cooking meals, or do you have one person that...
Yeah, we all take turns cooking meals. I seem to do a little bit more of the cooking. on most of the crews that I've been on. Having come from the restaurant industry, I did have some experience in that. I'm currently working on a firehouse cookbook, actually, trying to go around and get some recipes from a lot of the guys that I've worked with, and just putting something together. Something we could pull out if we can't decide what we want to have. Maybe, I haven't worked with Captain Terry in a couple years, and man, I remember his pot pie was really good. And it could be at all the firehouses, and anybody that wanted to could cook it. That is, if I can talk Captain Terry into giving me his recipe.
We all have that secret recipes. Right. No, that's a great idea, though. So, well, you don't have to be, like, trying to think every time, like, oh, what are we going to cook? Just like at home. Yeah. Right. And have you thought about maybe selling those cookbooks as a fundraiser?
I haven't really given it much thought yet. I'm still just kind of trying to pull the recipes together, but yeah, that's a good idea. A fundraiser might be...
Yeah, for the Crusade for Children or
nice.
Something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So I know there's no typical day in the firehouse, but like when you first come in the morning, what are some things that you do every time you come in?
So the first thing you do is you put your gear on the truck and you do your truck check. You really need to check your equipment because it's what's going to keep you alive and save lives. First thing I do is I turn on my air pack, make sure that my mask is working, and make sure that it's topped off. After that, you just go around the truck and you open every compartment and you check oil, gas, the hydraulic tools. Make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. So the off-coming crew could have had an incident at 3:30 a.m. and forgot to fill up the peat bucket or refill the water can. After you make sure that all of your equipment is working properly, you can tend to other things in the firehouse, make sure everything's cleaned up. We usually do clean up first thing in the morning. And then after that, we'll probably take a 30-minute break or so. Maybe somebody will cook breakfast. Maybe we'll have a crew breakfast. Maybe not. Right now, my current crew, we're not doing breakfasts. Some guys don't eat breakfast. And the guys that do will eat on their own. And then we usually have training. Sometime between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. And that will last anywhere from an hour to 3 hours. And the training will either be a department training or a crew training. Department training, we might go down to Jeff High and do a pre-plan of an incident that could happen there with another engine or truck. And a crew training might just consist of the three or four guys on your crew getting together in the watch room and taking out some rope and going back over all the knots that you need to know for rope rescue. Sometimes it'll be an hour's worth of us watching a refresher course on EMS classes online. But every day we do some sort of training, and it just depends on how long it is. Usually get to go to the grocery on crew. As long as the grocery's within your station's area.
So up there at 4, what do you have? Just the Kroger?
Yeah, Kroger is in District 4. Yeah. So we can go to Kroger. Sometimes guys will just bring in stuff and then we don't have to go anywhere. But when I was stationed at Station 1 downtown. We didn't want to go out of our district, even though we could if we let the battalion chief know. We wanted to have our district covered, so we would either have to bring in food for the whole crew, or we could go to Old Town, but most of the time somebody brought in food from Kroger.
So it's very important that you all keep up with your training.
Yes, it is very important.
People might not understand that, but I mean, just because you learned it a couple years ago when you first started, you need to constantly be doing the things, because we want to make sure everybody's safe.
That's correct. And some of the most important things to train on are the things that you do very infrequently. So we don't need to train on how to take somebody's blood pressure, because we're doing that just about every day. But like I mentioned with the knots, you know, if you haven't tied a knot in a year, you might not be able to do it as quickly as you need to, or you might need to tie that knot when you can't see your hands, when you have firefighter gloves
on. When it has to be muscle memory.
And yeah, you have to be able to tie it without being able to see the rope even, just going off of feel. A lot of the technical rescue aspects are the things that we focus on training on, because they are some of the things that we do that are very infrequent. Hazmat training can be very important and is difficult to remember. Some of the chemicals that we could potentially deal with, we're not going to remember what the explosive limit is, but that's why we carry a book on the truck called an ERG, and we can quickly reference things like that. So you don't have to memorize everything. You just have to know how to get the information
as quickly as possible. Yeah. And you were up there like near River Ridge and all those places, right? That's kind of what you all cover.
So yes, we do.
So there's lots of
River Ridge
potential chemicals.
There are. And I think that's why Station 4 is the hazmat house. So we have, at Station 4, we have two different apparatus. We have the engine, and then we have the tanker. And the tanker carries 3,000 gallons of water. But we also have a dually truck that we hook up to a relief trailer and also a hazmat trailer. The relief trailer is something we would take to a fire that was lasting a long time, either in the middle of winter when it's extremely cold, or in the middle of summer when it's extremely hot, not just for firefighters, but also maybe for residents of a building so they can get out of the elements. It's got heat and air conditioner, and we always make sure it's stocked with ice and water and Gatorade, and there's a microwave on there in case we're there for a really long time. So we would hook that up and we would take it to a fire. The hazmat trailer has everything we would need to deal with a hazmat situation. You know, all of our Class A, Class B suits and different things we might need for a hazmat situation.
And you guys can go all the way up as far as like Charlestown State Park, right? But part of that?
There is a small part of Charlestown State Park, yeah, that we go to. District 4 is just as big as the rest of the city. I think it was originally that way because it was so rural. But in the last 5 years, it has exploded in population, and the businesses, it seems like there's another million square foot building built every other month.
Every time I go up to Charlestown State Park, I'm amazed at how much growth there is up that way.
Yeah, and it has been very fast. It's new roads, new buildings, and a lot of times in District 4, the training will consist on just knowing your area. So if there's a new building, we go tour it. If there's a new road We drive to it and we figure out where the hydrants are, and we come in and out of that road both ways and take everything into consideration. Construction, you have to know what's going on in the city so that you don't get stopped with construction. There's usually 3 or 5 ways to get to a certain place.
You have all those robo trucks to worry about too up that way.
That is true. Luckily, I haven't been on an incident with a train, but that is a potential hazard. It's every year or every other year we do a training with, I can't remember the name of the railroad, it might be L&M. Either way, we do a training with the railroad where they go over how to disengage the engine, how to stop the cars. They give us updated information on who to call if there was a derailment.
You all have it all covered, you hope.
Hopefully so. We try to be, I would say jacks of all trade, but kings of all trade.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Is there one call that stands out to you more than others?
A year ago, there was a rope rescue that I was on. It was one of the few technical rescue operations that we've done. There was a gentleman who was working in the quarry and fell off the side of a cliff, and that was in District 4. And Engine 44 responded and was the first on the scene. And it was about a mile back further than the engine could get. So the first thing we did was we loaded up all the equipment that we needed and we put them into the police and fire Durangos and got back to the scene. I was one of the first people there and I was doing a scene safety check. And by the time I got all of the rope equipment out and sorted, Tower 41 had gotten there. They are our rope rescue team. And I had previously been stationed at Station 1, and I'm a rope rescue technician. So I worked with Tower 41 and Engine 43 and Engine 44 personnels. We set up a 3-to-1 haul system and lowered 2 firefighters down to the ledge that the gentleman had fallen onto. It was about 35 feet down and he was in pain. We went down there. I didn't get lowered down. I was working on the 3-to-1 rope system. They administered some EMS help. They stopped bleeding and got him moved over to where the haul system was, and we got the gentleman up and out of that situation in a pretty short amount of time with all the different things that we had to overcome. Recently, I think that's the only thing that stands out.
Really stands out to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you guys were able to be there and get to him.
Yeah.
Did he survive?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great.
He survived, made a full recovery. Pretty decent fall, and he was pretty lucky.
Yeah. That's a scary fall, absolutely. What are some misconceptions about firefighting? There's so many fire shows on, it's kind of, it's always like, I'm still there. I mean, obviously, I'm not a firefighter, but I'm still going, there's no way that stuff happens in real.
No. I can't even watch those shows. Like, some of them are more realistic than others, but, like, there was one show I saw where one of the firefighters took the fire truck out by himself, and he was doing something that was, you know, crazy as well. But one thing that we have to do is we have to be able to be together and on our apparatus very quickly. We're not going to go that far away from our apparatus, because we have to be able to respond quickly. One guy is not going to go to the grocery alone. If you see firefighters in the grocery and there's four firefighters together, that's because they have to be together and they have to be able to get to their fire truck as fast as possible. Let's see. I don't watch a lot of those.
I've had others say, like, fires are not that clear. Like, there's so much smoke you can't see anything. And on these TV shows, it's like they walk in and it's, there's a fire, but they can see everything.
Yeah, well, that's very true. Any fire that I've been on, I don't think that there's been a single one where visibility has been clear at all. It's usually after the fire is put out that you can start seeing things, because after you put out the fire, you come in with ventilation. So ventilation can either be horizontal ventilation, where you set up a fan at the door and open a window in the rear of the building and start blowing smoke out, or it could be vertical ventilation where you put a hole in the roof. A lot of times that can be done simultaneously when you're hitting the fire, and visibility will become a lot better quickly, but the hard part of fighting a fire, you can't see anything. Let's see, what else would it be?
It just seems like on these shows there's a lot of drama.
Yeah.
People are always fighting, people are hooking up, this and that, and from what I've gathered from other people I've interviewed, it's not like that. You guys are...
That's not been my experience,
yeah,
at least.
That's what I've heard from everybody.
I've not seen a fight,
yeah,
in my almost 8 years. You know, every once in a while there will be a verbal altercation, but I've never seen one that has been much more than just, hey, that wasn't nice. And yeah, things are very relaxed at the firehouse. When we have a job to do, we go and we get our job done, we come back, we get things cleaned up, and then it's time to relax. We've done our training, we've done our cleanup, we've already been on a few runs, we're going to watch a movie, or if you want to go work out, you can go work out, or a lot of times I'll take a lawn chair out to the back side of the firehouse and read a book. Some guys will bring in woodworking projects. You know, you're there for 24 hours and spending 2 hours in the evening working on something else, it's nice to be able to do.
I know there is a misconception that, oh, all firefighters do is just sit around all day in their easy chairs. They don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people understand when you are on a call, it can be very intense. So, yes, you need to be able to come back and decompress. You have that time, or else you all would burn out, I mean, so quickly.
Yeah. Being able to decompress is really important. One thing with crew integrity is learning what type of instances we really do need to decompress and when we need to talk about things. Seems like it goes from joking about an incident to being serious about an incident and then back to joking about it, and that's just how we deal with things. When you know the guys that you're working with, you know how to talk to them about something that we've seen together that was traumatizing.
And I think a lot of us use humor, too, as a coping mechanism.
Yes. That's why we go back and forth from making fun of a situation to talking about how it has really affected us.
Do you feel like you have support for your mental health?
I know that the support is there if I was to need it.
If you need it.
Yes. There are certain scenes that we have required decompression where we have to talk with either a chief or they will bring in a therapist if there's been a very traumatizing situation. And luckily, I've only been a part of one of those, and it was quite a number of years ago. It was a very hard EMS scene, and when we got back, we talked about what happened, and we were told that if we needed to talk about it more, that it was available, and we didn't have to speak up right then. They said, give this number a call. Not only that, the union provides mental health services, and just knowing that that's there in case I did need it is really nice. Luckily, I haven't had to yet.
I know there's just such a high instance of PTSD for any first responders because of what you guys see day in, day out. But I'm glad to know that there are things available if you need it and you have that support.
There definitely are.
Yes.
A lot more than they're used to.
Yeah, I know it used to be just suck it up and move on, but
right.
That doesn't work long term.
No, it doesn't.
It's not
good for the firefighter. It's not good for the community, because if you've got a guy that isn't putting the work in for his health, he's not going to be able to be there for the community when they're needed.
And it leads to addiction and other things.
Absolutely.
We don't want anybody to have to go through that.
No.
So I know a lot of firefighters have other jobs besides firefighting. Do you have another job?
I'm currently fixing up a house that I bought, and I'm going to rent it out. I plan on having it rented by August, and I've been working on it for about 10 months now. New wood floors, completely redid the kitchen, new doors, new paint. Just kind of slowly working on it. But once I have that rented out, then I'll also be the property manager. And before COVID, I worked in a restaurant as well. I haven't worked there since COVID. They had to let a few people go because of how little business they had. And so obviously I didn't need to work. I was more or less helping them out and working there maybe once or twice a month just because it was fun.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I'll do odd jobs for a guy that needs a hand. I don't have another career job like some guys on the fire department. Like one guy I work for, he does tile work, and if he has a big job or he got too many jobs this month, I'll help him lay some tile. So every once in a while, I'll do some odd things.
What advice would you give anyone wanting to become a firefighter?
First off, I highly suggest it. I think that if you think that the schedule could work out for you and you're driven by the want to be a productive member of your community, then it's a great job. It's really fulfilling. I think that you need to understand that once you get on, the continual education is something that's every day, and you're going to have to deal with that. Some people, like me, like doing that type of thing, and I'll do more research afterwards just because I find it interesting. If it's not interesting to you, then, you know, maybe you might want to think about something else. But usually you can find something that interests you in the fire service because we do so many jobs. And certain guys will make it their career to focus specifically on certain aspects of the fire service. I kind of have done a little bit of everything, whereas some people will just focus on rope rescue, some people will focus on hazmat, and it's just whatever interests you. You can usually become the go-to guy on the fire department for that. Yeah, you still have to know your knots, and you still have to go through and make sure that you're up to date on your EMS things, but let's see. I think it's a great job, and that anybody that can deal with the schedule would really enjoy it.
Every one of you all that I've interviewed have said what a great job it is.
It is. Doesn't really feel like I'm going to work when I wake up at 5:30 in the morning to get ready for work. Usually I wake up 5 minutes before my alarm, and I have time to drink some coffee beforehand. I get into work, and I'm doing things that are work, but it just doesn't feel like work. It just feels like another day and hanging out with the guys.
That's very cool to hear.
And gals. We had two women firefighters that I worked with, actually.
They both retired.
They both retired. One was my captain when she retired. One was my lieutenant when she retired.
Oh, very cool.
So I had a chance to work with Captain Blanchard and Lieutenant Allen for the last 3 years of their time at the fire department.
Very, very cool. And I know you're trying to recruit more women. So anybody listening to this in the future, check out firefighting if you're a woman. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell us?
Can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much.